Fanboy Smackdown, Episode 60, Juno. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Adam.
You want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Sergio.
And Sergio, how are you related to this little group here?
I fathered one of us.
And it wasn't me.
No.
No.
I did.
Hello, Adam.
So for our Mother's Day episode, you've
been... Yeah, I brought my dad.
You brought your dad. Genius.
I have her proxy, so...
All right.
Yeah.
We'll be voting that today.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to do...
Juno.
Juno, which we realize that this episode's getting released on Mother's Day. What better than to talk about a pregnant teenager on Mother's Day?
I believe your mother was a teenager when you were born.
She was. I was there.
I don't remember.
So just as a recap from the last couple of episodes, in case you haven't listened to any of the previous ones, we're changing the name.
Yeah, Dad. We're changing the name.
Yeah, it's not going to be Fanboy Smackdown anymore.
Is that my fault?
We'll blame
partially.
You if you want. If you want, we can blame you. No, we're going to be called the Backseat Producers. It just explains what the show is a lot better than Fanboy Smackdown.
What is it?
Backseat Producers.
Oddly enough, never mind that.
Speaking of baggage.
That's how one of us was born.
It's going to be one of those episodes, is
yeah.
it? You're not even drinking.
Ask
your grandma about that.
Do we need to mark this one explicit? Or
I don't need to be explicit.
No. But yeah, we're going to talk about Juno. We've got contests going on right now. You can win the Mist.
Automaton Transition? Transfusion?
Not yet.
Oh.
That one's next. We're doing the Mist right now.
That one's never going to happen because we don't know what the name of the movie is.
We'll get the movie right the day we give it away. But we just got done giving away all those Netflix. We got done giving away the Alien Nation discs. So we've got another contest. So get on out there to our contest page and check it out. It's got the instructions there on how you can enter. And
do you have more business?
I don't think so.
I don't think we do.
I'm glad. I'm done talking about business. We talk about business way too much.
Announcements and business suck.
Okay, next. The movie, Juno. This is the last movie in our Oscar series. So now we're going to have now we're going to think of other movies to talk about.
Yeah, these movies were thick and too thick.
Yeah, this one's not so thick, though.
No, this one was a lot better.
Yeah, it's a lot more. Well, this one and Michael Clayton were really the more...
light.
Mainstream, I would say.
Yeah, I agree with films. You. So what'd you think?
I liked it.
I liked it.
I liked it, too. And I liked it, and I liked it, but I didn't think it belonged on the list.
No, I didn't
the top
either.
Five.
I didn't either.
It was weird and different enough to be, well, this isn't the stereotypical baby teenager movie, but not breakthrough or...
It was quirky and
exactly.
interesting.
But not... like a breakthrough in filmography or cinematography or whatever.
No, not really. I mean, I've said about this movie that I kind of think of it as like a Kevin Smith movie, as if a studio kind of massaged one of his scripts a little bit.
And cleaned it up a bit.
Cleaned it up just a little bit. Not much, because it still has an edge
to it. It's
a little
rough. Yeah.
Yeah, it still has an edge to it, but it's not as straightforward, slapsticky kind of funny as
right.
You know. It's not a Will Ferrell kind of funny. It's not Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Substantially less penis.
Substantially,
from which we were very glad.
Yes. Oh my. Yes. The movie was. I think some of the more interesting things about this movie. Some of the the behind the scenes kind of stuff, like Diablo Cody, which. She wrote it,
uh-huh.
But she's, I mean, they said that she was an exotic dancer.
Nice.
But, like, I've heard reports that she may have done more than dance.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Go through a pregnancy?
You know, I don't think so.
During her teenage years?
I don't know. I don't think so. But it could be.
No, I doubt she did. I think if she did, the movie would have ended differently.
I would have hated them if the movie ended differently.
Me too.
But
in fact, Melina almost didn't watch the movie because
she expected
the ending you expect going into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you should watch it because it is not what you think it is.
Right.
Which was refreshing. That's where I give it major points.
There was a couple of parts. There was a couple things in the movie that I did find very refreshing, and that was one. Some of the snappy dialogue at times got a little bit too clever.
Mm-hmm. Like unbelievably clever.
Yes. Yes. I think at the point when I kind of groaned and rolled my eyes was when she said, "Oh, my blog."
Yes.
That pushed it. And I don't know what it was, but that one line just really sent me over the edge.
Yeah, they were trying too hard in some sections. But a lot of her, I don't know, the tone, like the kind of irreverent tone she takes mm-hmm. most all the time reminds me of my brother. So it was like, oh, I grew up with this. You know, you can talk.
I know.
You should just jump in.
I don't know. I liked the movie.
All right.
She didn't seem bothered by her pregnancy too much to me. It's just another casual 9 months that went by. I mean, the movie didn't really deal with, you know, being a teenager and being pregnant. It was just, you know, just something that happened to her.
Yeah.
That's how she dealt with it.
And yeah, that's what I thought was awesome about the movie.
Yeah, she went on. It wasn't a huge trauma to her.
Yeah. She was very casual about it, and I was cool with that. I
mean, yeah, and she made some mature choices as far as, you know, realizing she really couldn't take care of the baby, and I liked that they actually approached the subject of abortion. They, you know, they didn't back away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the most ridiculous of things that kept her from doing it. Which I actually forgot about until we started talking about this, that it was the fingernails.
Yeah. Did you know my baby has fingernails? Yeah, I thought that was hilarious.
You know, since we probably have already spoiled some of the biggest parts of the movie, considering, you know, we've talked about the ending a little bit, I don't really see how we can spoil a whole lot of it.
I'll agree with that.
I mean, you don't know exactly how it's going to end. You don't know, you know, is she going to keep the baby? Is she really going to give it up? Is she going to flip at the last minute? And there are a couple of moments in the last third of the movie or so that do change things up a little bit. So I guess there are a couple of spoilers.
Right.
But one thing that I want to talk about is Ellen Page and her acting.
Really? Because I dug her.
Okay. Have you seen her do anything else?
No. She was Kitty Pryde in X-Men 3. That is the only other thing she's been in that I think I've seen.
Okay. Just after, like, after the Oscars, she was on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
She did a guest host stint. And I have to say that the director of Juno is phenomenal because she couldn't act live on stage. It was bad. I mean, little
Keanu Reeves action with The Matrix?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was kind of the same.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. Is she playing?
Don't fit the movie, fit the actor.
Exactly. Yeah. They found somebody to play that role and play it well. She had nothing beyond what she did for Juno.
Yeah, I could see that, but
it was all natural.
Yeah, it was exactly.
Very natural.
She wasn't acting, and that's why it felt so natural. But
yeah,
because she couldn't apparently.
Well, and maybe the director, you know, knew how to massage the talent too to get her to
mm-hmm.
to perform in that way. And it's different acting on stage when you have to, you know, you have to have all your dialogue memorized for all the skits you're in and,
right.
and that versus, you know, a couple of lines for this scene today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
What did you think about the other actors and actresses?
I liked the dad.
The dad was hilarious.
Yes.
I Next liked time I see that scene with the dad.
Next time I see that bleaker kid, I'm going to punch him in the wiener.
Didn't think he had it in him.
It was hilarious.
The mom was real good, too.
Yeah, the stepmom.
The stepmom was really good.
Yeah, I didn't expect her to be anything special, but then she pulled it out.
How do I look? You look like a new mom. Scared shitless. Yep. The rest of the characters were interesting, also. They didn't just have one or two interesting characters.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just Juno was interesting, and everybody around her was boring.
Yeah, was ornaments to her.
And everybody was kind of different and quirky and off a little bit.
The best friend. Who had a thing for teachers.
Yeah. Yes. That's right. I forgot about that.
That chick was hilarious.
The interesting names the parents came up with for the kids. Liberty Bell and Juno. Yeah. And yeah, it was a little off.
Jennifer Gardner and her husband.
Jason Bateman.
Okay. That guy.
The husband.
Yeah. I didn't like him.
You didn't like him?
I didn't like either of them.
Really?
Yeah. I thought he was a toolbox, and I hate Jennifer Gardner because her forehead is just so huge. Wow. She's like, I'm Electra. Your forehead! Stop it!
I didn't like Electra, and I think she was probably the main reason why I didn't like Electra.
I can't argue with that.
I think if they would have found somebody else, it might have been a better movie, but I don't know.
They
might have been a Doom movie.
They committed to her with putting her in Daredevil. So, I mean, what are you going to do? But I mean, in this, I thought she did a fine job as the would be mom. I like Jason Bateman as the dad who, or the guy who the isn't husband. Really sure what.
Oh, he was sure.
Yeah.
He was sure he did not want to be a father.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he was pretty sure about that.
And you could tell that right from the get-go.
Right.
Yeah, that first scene when she's doing the interview and they're on the couch. And he's like, I want to do all the father things.
Yeah. Yeah, he was doing it all for her. So let's kind of take this back and actually
Give a plot synopsis. So just randomly talking about disconnected scenes.
We're kind of just fumbling here at the moment. So the movie starts with the character Juno going into a convenience store to buy, I guess, like her third or fourth pregnancy test. And
props
you get it
to Schrute for being in there.
Yes,
Dwight
drinking her big jug of Sunny D.
Yeah,
so that she can pee more.
And by the way, that whole opening scene, loved it. I love all the music from this movie. I have the soundtrack.
Well, the whole dialogue between her and what's the guy's name?
Dwight.
The guy from The Office. Yeah, that was
interchange.
That whole thing was hilarious.
That kind of gave you a taste for what the dialogue was going to be like. If you couldn't really follow that exchange well,
yeah, the whole movie is going to be.
I mean,
forget
the movie. If you make it past the convenience store scene, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. Very quick, very snappy, referential dialogue. They don't speak straightforward.
No,
it's all
a lot like Firefly, actually.
Yeah,
with the way that the dialogue is real sharp and pointed.
Mm-hmm. And it smacks of some of the stuff Kevin Smith did too.
Mm-hmm.
So she finds out after what is apparently her third or fourth pregnancy test that she is in fact pregnant. And then the movie is really the process first of what's she going to do about it? Mm-hmm. How's she going to break it to her parents? You know, she decides at first that she's going to go through an abortion. And she also has to tell the father who is probably the least likely person you'd expect to be the father. He's the guy from
Superbad.
Superbad.
Michael Cena.
Yeah. Let's see. She decides at some point that she's going to get an abortion. Then she finds out, as we've mentioned already, that the babies have fingernails already at the point of gestation where she's at, and that one thing.
No, it wasn't just that one.
Well,
thing.
It wasn't that one thing.
It was the entire abortion clinic scene.
It's how she found out about the fingernails.
But that was the thing that was the thing she kind of latched on to.
That was the thing. No, I don't think that was the thing she latched. That was the thing that she said she latched on to. But you can just tell going into the entire the abortion clinic waiting room,
right?
That she's gonna do it, and then that room kind of creeps her out just because of all the people that are in there.
Well, and she started with the receptionist.
The reception was awesome.
She's already pregnant, and here's a couple rubbers.
Yeah.
Here's some condoms. They make my boyfriend's junk smell like cheesecake.
So she backs off the abortion. and decides that she's going to find a family to give the baby to.
So they go straight to the Penny Saver.
On a recommendation from her friend, her best friend.
And then they find this couple, Jennifer Gardner and
Jason
Bateman, and meet with them, and they seem to be the couple that she really wants. They seem to be a good mom and dad for her unborn child, and she's pleased with that decision.
I love how awkward that meeting is. She's like, oh, I wish I could be pregnant. Juno's like, oh, I bet you don't. She looks so awkward because you know that she can't conceive for some reason.
Right.
She looks so uncomfortable. Then Juno just walks away.
One thing about the movie, and that's one of the earlier scenes about it, they really establish she is a teenager. She makes mistakes. She makes stupid teenager mistakes.
She has a hamburger telephone.
Yes.
I love that hamburger telephone.
But she makes stupid mistakes. And there's one in particular that I'll talk about in the spoiler afterward. Because I think it really shows just how naive she is about some things in life that, you know, she didn't realize she was doing something wrong. And in fact, she was doing something very wrong.
I drank an entire blue squishy. Oh, there was some blue crap in my urn. Did you throw up in there? No.
Yeah. It was low enough.
Yeah. Well, the whole exchange with her telling her stepmom and dad that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious.
She couldn't get it out, and then she finally told them, and then she left the room, and they were like, oh. Yeah, we were so hoping that she was on drugs
or
she got expelled from school.
I think that bleaker kid had it in him. Yeah, her father was awesome. Anyway.
Yeah. And, I mean, really, that's the plot synopsis without getting too spoilery. I mean, it's then the point of following her through the rest of the pregnancy and some of the drama that ensues from Juno having the baby and being a part of this new family's life and some of the trouble all of that causes. And at the end of the movie, she has the baby. I mean, that's not a big spoiler. She starts the movie pregnant, so you kind of figure she's going to have the baby.
It's like saying at the end of Titanic, the boat sinks.
The boat does sink, yeah.
Oh, really? Sorry, Dad. You don't have to see it now.
Yeah.
How?
Meteor.
Does anybody live?
Aliens.
No.
The ones that live get abducted.
The whole dealing with, you know, small part, high school, being pregnant, you know, everybody staring at her.
Mm-hmm.
The first scene where she's going through school, you know, everybody's bumping into her and everything. And then later on in the movie when she's actually showing that she's pregnant, it was like, you know, Moses in the Red Sea. It's like a sea of people
like they
just
could catch
partying.
It. Yeah. Like they were worried they could catch it or something.
Well, they show a lot of those scenes where she and her friend are eating, and her friend has a little tray, and she's not eating that much. And then you look over at Juno, and Juno just has trash everywhere from like 20 pounds of food that she's eating. She's like, oh, I'm still hungry. Everybody's staring at me. They're staring at you because you ate like an elephant.
Oh, they're staring at her belly, too. They don't look at my face anymore.
Oh, that burned.
That's what you get
bourbon and Coke. Bourbon and Coke through the nose is not a good thing.
That's what you get for making fun of teenage pregnancy. Don't eat. Yeah. Nothing to laugh at.
Yeah.
That's how women feel when they're pregnant.
Through the nose. Oh. Yeah. My wife's last pregnancy, as many of the listeners already know, was interesting in that she spent the last month of it in the hospital. So, yeah. Pregnancy.
How old is Erin?
8 months? She will be 7 months in just a week or two.
Boom. I nailed it.
Yeah. On the 11th, actually. So next week. Early next week. Probably, actually, the day this is released.
Mother's Day.
She will be 7 months.
Yeah, that means two presents for you. Not a good thing. Two presents one day.
Tell me about it. For my mom and for Julie.
three presents then.
Julia just get one. One big one.
Well, I meant for Erin for her birthday, but...
Oh, her birthday's five more months away.
What the hell's wrong with me? Yeah, you're right. God.
We have birthdays every 7 months now. Yeah. That's Adam's universe.
That's what he wishes.
Yeah, my seventh month is coming up.
You know, there's some more stuff I want to talk about, but yeah, I want to talk about the spoiler stuff. I think we around the room we're recommending this movie.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I recommend the soundtrack too because the soundtrack was freaking awesome.
I wasn't as crazy about it. It was okay.
No mainstay songs,
none. Mm-hmm. All indie people, young indie people,
not recognizable. No U2, which wasn't
unfortunate. Yeah,
but yeah, I liked the movie.
All right.
Yeah, I don't really have anything bad to say about it.
No. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back and spoil the rest of it and talk about the last little bit here. Maybe we'll figure out something else to talk about in the end. Make fun of Adam or something. Maybe get Sergio to tell some good Adam stories.
Good Adam stories. They're all good.
Boy, this is kind of low energy.
I know. On the way over here, he insisted that if you were going to introduce him, that you introduced him as Cock Block or what?
Cock Blocker McNabb.
We can do that after the break.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to do my standard. Anytime somebody introduces me, I want to just take a moment to thank the good Lord above, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today I was working at Monsanto, at Pharmacia, mm-hmm. basically Monsanto. So I had this big town hall meeting. So they were doing attendance prices. So they got down to where they were doing the last two attendance prices. So lo and behold, they call my name. And I have this thing about my last name. You know, I never introduce myself with my last name. Just call me by my first name. I'm ever so happy. So they call my name. So I jump up. I jump up and I start hooping and hollering. Yeah, yeah! All the way up to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing was is that she, there's people one, they would go up there and she'd say, you know, what's your name? Where do you work? Who do you work for? What do you do? So I get up there and she made the mistake by sticking this cordless microphone in my face, and well, she says, "Who are you?" And then she puts this microphone in my face. So I grab the microphone and I say, "My name is Sergio, and let me just start out by saying I want to thank God, I want to thank Jesus Christ, and I do one of these as our Lord and Savior." And then the next thing I say is, "I also want to thank my mom for not having that abortion 40 years ago. I really appreciate it now more than ever. Thank you, Mom." And the lady this whole time is trying to grab this microphone away from me. And so I go into this spiel about, "Man, I'm never lucky. I never win anything. This is the first thing I've ever won in my life. My family's going to be so proud of me. I finally won something. I can go home a winner." Finally got the microphone away from me, and she says, "Wow, that's a little bit more than what we needed to know, but congratulations."
You nice.
Know, no one else had that reaction.
You know what? The microphones are still on. I'm probably going to cut this out.
Oh, okay.
That's right. I get
no, no. Thing cut this out and put it at the end. This is what you should be doing during the episode. Oh. You're too shy. Stop being shy.
It'll get better if I keep doing them.
Keep doing them.
Oh, this is only a one-time guest thing?
Well, are you going to watch movies every week?
Yeah, I love watching movies.
Cool.
That's what I live for.
Well, you better perform the second half.
What do you mean? You want to see my penis? Where's a stripper pole? I'm trying to get people, I want to go see Iron Man. I'm 47 years old.
Solid.
I finally went to the movies for the first time by myself this year.
First time you went to the movies by yourself?
Yeah, I always go to the movies, and there's that one creepy guy with the big old big gulp soda and big old tub of popcorn. He's sitting there all by himself. I'm thinking, God, man, I'm so glad.
So you've
that's
been
not
to a
me.
Lot of movies that I was at.
So glad that's not me. And then this year, I've seen two by myself.
I do that all the time. I value my own opinion, though, far, far too much to let someone else ruin it when I leave the movie.
Yeah, I get into where I want to see the movie, and I could care less if you call me and tell me it's the worst movie you've ever seen. I still want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to go. I mean, if it's a bad movie, then, you know, hey, I'll call you up and say, okay.
You were right.
But, you know, somebody told me I wanted to go see the Will Smith movie. I imagine.
Mm-hmm. I told you not to see it.
I wanted to go see it because it looked really interesting to me.
I mean, I told you not to see it. I didn't even see it.
I went to go see it.
I saw it. I saw it on DVD.
And so I went. That was the first movie I'd ever gone to go see by myself. Mm-hmm. So I sat in my standard back of the row, back row, middle of the aisle. I was good to go. There wasn't a whole lot of people in there, you know. I got looks from those six teenagers looking at me. Hey, I'm the creepy guy. I don't have any popcorn.
Sitting in the back row.
That wasn't that kind of movie.
Not that movie.
Your girlfriend's hot.
Maybe the next one. That and I knew the next movie that I saw I was going to see by myself because there wasn't any way anyone was ever going to go see this movie with me. Certainly not your mother.
What movie?
Come on. U2 3D.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go on my birthday.
How was that?
It doesn't matter how it was.
No, I mean, how was the 3D effects in that?
I'll tell you what. One of the things that amazed me was I'd always gone to go see. I had taken Nick to go see what's his favorite movie?
Transformers?
No, the Halloween movie.
Oh,
Nightmare Before Christmas?
I took him to go see it. It was in 3D. And
yes, it was.
And I thought...
That was awesome.
I always go to those kind of movies, 3D, and I always say, oh, it sucks. There wasn't enough 3D stuff in there for me. Or, I'm too stupid to see it.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Okay. So one of the things that happened early on in this U2 3D movie is that Adam, the bassist, they show him, and he takes his bass guitar and he swings it out like this across the screen.
Nice.
And I'm sitting in my chair, and then I lean back in my chair because I don't want his guitar to hit me in the head. And then I look around and I'm thinking, oh, I hope nobody saw me do that. Like an idiot. And then the other thing that happened was, this is how good I thought it was, is that the last U2 concert.
I know, I went.
The U2 concert I went to with Adam. Was it you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was me, Melina, and a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah, that's right, because it was a heart. We were right at the tip of the heart. We were about four to five, six people back.
Mm. On the floor.
The tip of the heart.
On the floor, the stage was a big heart, right? But the M part was back, away from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so the point comes out to where the audience is standing.
Right.
So the audience is, like, right up to the point.
Yeah.
And we're maybe 5-6 guys back from the point of the heart.
Oh. Yeah.
And go ahead and tell your story there, Chief.
So, first song, the guy comes out, Bono comes out to the tip of the heart and everything. And so now, as soon as he came out there, everybody pushes forward. So I have this big guy in front of me,
mm-hmm.
bald head, and I'm digging my elbow into this guy's back, and I'm screaming into his ear, lean forward, lean forward, lean effing forward. The guy finally turned around, and he says, I am, and I yelled back, no, you're not. And I was ever so close to touching this guy.
Have a picture where... He's got a picture, right? Did you get this from the Post Dispatch? He's got the picture where Bono is. They've got the picture of Bono, and he's like leaning out into the audience. He has one hand extended, like he's reaching kind of upward
for me.
Into the audience. And there is a hand in the picture.
There's like 20 hands.
There's 20 hands,
arms.
But there's one hand coming out, and it's clearly my dad's hand grasping desperately to reach Bono. It's hilarious.
It's awesome.
Don't you have that framed?
Bono is your Hannah Montana.
Well, a little bit older. So, I tell my wife, that's my arm. That's my hand. And she's
that's
like,
awesome.
No, it's not.
That's awesome.
Anyway, I love the U2 3D movie.
So, but
cool.
You know, if you know anything about me, have I ever said anything bad about
him? No, he's never said anything. Yeah,
but I don't have a problem with that. I think you two is great. No, I have no problem with that.
I do, which is the third thing that I want, that I think my kids will say at my funeral.
Third?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with first or second, Chief.
No, when I die, I think my kids will say, I want to hear three things out of them.
Yeah, he was a good father. He loved you, too.
Oh, no. Not a good father. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear them say that. Anyway, the third thing that they will say is, can we turn the U2 off now? That's what they'll say.
It's okay. When you pop off, we're having a party.
Yeah.
Mom will be pissed. I don't care. We're having a party.
I don't want a party. I don't want people moping around.
So, my mom was talking about the funeral that they went to last week, and my grandmother says, when I go, I don't want all that stuff.
Crying.
Just go to Andrea's. Have dinner. My mom must have looked at her and she said, on me?
Well, not on me. I mean, I'll pay for it.
Which is hilarious because my grandmother never wants to go out to eat because it's just a waste of money. Which is, that just makes it more hilarious. Yeah, exactly.
I want people drinking and talking.
Yeah, quick and easy.
Do you remember that time he did this? Or do you remember the time he said that? That's what I want to hear.
I'll make it happen.
Lots remember the time he was on the podcast? Just killed it. Just so boring.
Crickets. Why isn't our best conversations happen during the break?
That's why I just kept it recording this time.
Yeah, thank you.
If nothing else, this is going to be the last half of the episode. If we come back and it's just really boring.
What I do is boring. Oh, I'm the only one not drinking, so I better catch up.
I need a little more bourbon.
I keep trying to tell him to get into a comedy podcast, but he's obstinate.
Just trying to find my comedy style.
Nah, dude. This is what you need to do. You need to get, first off, one person doing a podcast is boring. It sucks. It's hard to listen to.
Tell me about it. I do it.
I know you do it. It's hard to listen to.
It's hard to do.
I know it's hard to do. That's why it's hard to listen to. If you could talk, like, if you could find a way to keep yourself interested while you were doing it. I mean, it's not a matter of being interested in doing it. It's just hard when you have nobody to bounce anything off.
The only person I can listen to solo podcast, there's only one person I can listen to solo podcast and listen to anytime he does it.
T. Morris. Yeah, that guy's got a huge amount of energy. It's hard to do it by yourself.
He also edits the shit out of his shows, too.
Yeah, he does.
He has everything scripted out, and he knows exactly what he's going to say.
Yeah, the production value in his shows is huge.
And he's an actor.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, he's a trained actor. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it's hard to listen to a solo podcast.
He was on an episode of The Wire, for God's sake. And really? and Homicide.
Oh my God. I know. I do a solo podcast every 2 weeks at work. I host a conference call, and I'm the only one that ever speaks for an hour. Boring stuff, and, you know, after I get done saying my little spew about a particular subject, I'll say, anybody have any questions?
So what do you do?
I'll tell you what my motto at work is, the least I can do.
Nice.
So, I work at a healthcare company.
Okay.
In the IS department. It's kind of hard for me to describe what I do because I don't want to say that I wear a lot of hats because that sounds so stupid to me, but...
You wear a lot of hats?
I get called a lot to find resolutions, and by the time the problem gets to me, it's, you know, five other people have already looked at the problem.
So you're a jack-of-all-trades problem solver. You're like MacGyver. You're like the MacGyver.
You're Master
Keaton. I'm supposed to be... I'm in charge of the PC standards of... company where I work.
Okay.
So, you know, and the guy who I inherited this position from last year told me I have a lot more power than what I realize, and it's taken me a full year to realize that
that sometimes when I say something, then, you know, it happens across our entire, you know, entire computer base.
Nice.
So what do I do? I affect everything on the client PC.
Okay.
So, but I'm not actually, I don't actually do client-side stuff, but I don't actually do any server-side stuff. And I was part of the server team. But
so you found a really interesting niche where you do whatever you do and nobody can question it.
I do. You know, I tend to do the things that I like doing more than the things that I don't like to do.
You can't beat that.
You know,
it's not a bad position to have.
The one thing that I don't enjoy doing anymore is takes up the majority of my time. I just wish they would get somebody in there to do it. I'm ready to let go. Yeah. I won't have any qualms. I've already, you know, I've taken this thing from like the prehistoric age to where it is now, and you know, if somebody else were to come in and do it, I wouldn't have any problems letting go. You know, I would just give them all the documentation that I created, and I said, this is the way I did it. You go and do it however you see fit, which is what I did.
Yeah.
But I want to get more into programming. That's what I really want to do.
Cool.
And I still haven't answered your question on what I do. So all you need to know is I host a podcast at work every other week for an hour.
That's all right. I'm trying to get him to do stand-up, like a comedy podcast,
mm-hmm.
just because he's, well, I'm getting to stand-up. This is 10, 15 years ago. I'm going to get into stand-up. I'm going to start hitting the amateur nights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Open mic.
Open mic nights.
Whatever. I'm going to start hitting the open mic nights.
Amateur night.
15 years
amateur
later.
Amateur nights, what they do in Soje on Thursday nights.
Actually, I said that in the car on the way here.
I brought my own pole. Where can I set up?
So I'm trying to get him to start some stuff up, but he's like, oh, yes, well, I'm still writing. And I'm like, ugh, dude, don't write. Just get over here.
But you're right. It would be easier for me to do it if somebody else was there.
You have to come over and use my equipment anyway.
Absolutely.
I have three mics. We can sit around. We can find someone else.
You know who I'd really like to get in,
Paul? Jake Mowry?
No, I was thinking a little bit closer to home.
Who?
You know, he's in the Army now. That guy would be really good.
Who?
Benjamin.
Oh, yeah, Ben. Yeah. But he's in the Army. And stationed in Alaska.
I didn't say that there wasn't going to be problems. I'm just saying that.
That's what Skype's for.
Good Skype him in.
He's got such a great sense of humor.
Yeah, then it would definitely be explicit. That dude loves the F-bomb every other word. Actually, I thought about doing that. Getting Mike and Ben on Skype and then just riffing for half an hour, because there are people who find that entertaining, because Ben and Mike are both really high energy dudes, and then we all have a very similar mindset. So,
well, the three of you, I mean, holidays at our house, you could record that.
We could record that. Settlers of Catan has never been so much fun.
Oh boy,
what was that thing, the 5-minute laugh? Not for Easter.
I don't remember.
Was it Thanksgiving?
It was something I said. It was hilarious.
Oh, we laughed. I swear we laughed for about 8 minutes straight. And it was one of those laughs where you laugh really, really hard. You know, everybody's laughing really, really hard. And, you know, your eyes are closed and they're watering. And then you start to calm down and everything. You're not really looking at anybody. But then you make eye contact with somebody else. And then it just starts again,
yeah.
You know, it's like the wave at the stadium. It just picks up again and it went on and on and on. Yeah, I mean, even your mother was laughing. So. Then I knew we were right on.
We ready to start this thing back up official-like?
Yeah, let's get this rolling.
All right.
Melina still wants to study property law before I go to bed.
So you get to help with that? Whee!
Yeah. I have to memorize these 9 pages. Hey, man, that sucks. I got to be up at 6:30. Well, we're going to do this once before I go to bed. Seriously? Come on! I'm not going to get home till 11.
All right. Damn it, Adam.
Can't take him anywhere.
I edit. You never wait for me.
And we're back.
I don't actually think we left. We had a better conversation in the middle of the episode than we did the first half of the episode.
We may just leave it in like we did last time.
Yeah.
No, that was not a mistake.
Yeah.
I had to put that in the show notes because I just knew that somebody would be like, dudes, do you guys realize that you didn't edit out part of the show that you should have?
I still have the audio from when we had Anthony on. And the middle section is so funny because he's like, hey, guys. Seriously, you know, I'm talking a lot during the first half, and I'm making jokes and stuff. Is that okay? It's like, dude, come on, you're freaking hilarious. Calm it down over there. I cut it out to be nice, but now I'm feeling like an ass, so I may tag it on the end of this episode.
You know what we ought to do is we ought to just save all these mid-show podcasts and just do a podcast of the mid-show podcast.
It's some week where we can't record. Yeah. Oh, when you're on vacation.
There you go. That'll work.
Perfect.
Call it the mid-cast.
That's not a bad idea. Better than Fanboy Smackdown.
What does that mean?
Well,
some special
meaning? Well, it was the show was originally going to be something different than a movie review and analysis. It was going to take topics that like geeks really fight about, like, oh, you know, they made Spider-Man's suit look like Iron Man's for a while. Oh my God, that's worse. It's the most horrible thing ever. And people really get upset about some of this stuff. And the idea of the podcast was going to be to just tell them to shut up and calm down. So we were
going. Parsecs are a measurement of distance, not time.
That still bothers me.
Yeah, see, exactly, that kind of stuff. Han shot first.
Oh, you're treading on sacred ground with that one.
I know.
You will get people enraged about that one.
I know. Well, the simple fact of the matter is that Han shot only. Thank you, Keith.
Yes. The simple fact of the matter is that if Han shot first, he was a murderer, and
yes,
and
that's the way it should be,
and he should not have redeemed himself as easily as he did in the first movie.
Well, that's getting a little more. That's getting beyond the Fanboy Smackdown, and
so you would go off with a bounty hunter.
See, that's just it. I don't know, but
I think it was
the whole
clear
fact
message to bounty hunters.
If you come, we're talking talk, to
you,
if
you
dog.
Come and waste my time talking to me, you're going to get shot.
There you go. Yeah. See, this is actually just a recap of episode number one of Fanboy Smackdown.
That's how we roll. 60 episodes later,
we finally get
around
to
keep it real.
Still talk about Star Wars. No,
that
so that's.
Yeah. Seriously? Get out of here.
Shit. Some people didn't actually get the joke that we called the first episode episode four.
Oh, like, did you really? I think I even listened to that one. Because didn't you do all six movies? Like the first
did,
three versus
did,
the third three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to that one.
Yeah, we did that. And then the next one we did Lucas's other films other than Star Wars.
Oh,
American Gigolo, THX.
Oh, he made other movies?
A few.
Let me just say this about the first three movies. They would be great movies. And it, all six movies would be of the same caliber if you would just go back to all six movies and take out every scene with Anakin and the woman, Padme. Take those out of the
You should watch
story.
Adam's End of the second movie. It's awesome because the way the DVD is divided, the chapters, what happens in every chapter with them is you see them first off, skip. Next chapter. And then the whole Obi-Wan plot is awesome because Obi-Wan has huge balls and it's like he's doing this whole like murder mystery thing and he's cruising around with his lightsaber and it's awesome. But the whole Padme Anakin plot is just...
Yeah.
Okay. 5 seconds of, yeah, they're going to do it. All right. That's enough for the rest of the... That's enough for the 3-hour movie. We're cool. Everybody's cool at that point.
Hey, I have an age, Denny, and you grew up.
Yeah. 12 years later, I still look the same.
Yeah. And I haven't stopped thinking about you ever since we parted. Okay.
Anyway, so back to Juno.
Oh, Juno, yeah.
Juno, yeah, we were talking about that.
All right, I love the way it ended.
We're going to spoil it, and yeah. The end.
Ah, crap.
What?
What movie are we talking about next week?
We still haven't... God damn, we still haven't done it.
I know. Well, hold on. When is Anthony coming back?
I think next week?
I think the week after.
I'm not sure.
I think the week after. Because next week, Melina still has finals.
So does he, but I think his end on Tuesday.
I think they both end on Wednesday, because that's when her last final is. So around in there, so I doubt he'll be here for next
week. So either next week or the week after.
If I want to say before he comes back, we should do the review, like the feedback episode.
Okay.
Because he wasn't here for the majority of the episodes, so
it
would make sense to do it without him here, because he wasn't here for...
Yeah. Okay, so if you're listening to this, you've got like 2 days to get any feedback to us. I'll go ahead and post a little something on the website, just maybe even do like a little two-minute audio thing and dump it out there. Say, hey, get us some feedback.
Right, because that'll put us in a position to... Because he's going to be here for most of the summer, right?
I believe so.
Right.
I believe so.
So when we do movies with him over the summer and we get feedback, then before he goes back to school and gets real busy again...
Yeah.
That we can do another feedback episode, and that'll cover us.
Good call. And so let's just go ahead and say that we're going to do a feedback episode next. Then the episode after that, let's go ahead and do the indie, the first three indie movies.
Yeah, because I'm stoked for indie.
So you've got 2 weeks now to catch up on and rewatch Raiders of the Lost Ark, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. I still refuse to call the first movie Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, which they have renamed it to.
What was the original?
It was just Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
They have renamed it to Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Dude, have you seen the previews for Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Yes, I have.
Marion looks the same she did in Raiders.
Yes, she does.
That is incredible.
Yeah. I'm psyched about it, because it looks like that whole car chase scene takes place in the warehouse that you see at the end of Raiders.
Yes.
I thought they were going to really
ham it up, and then when he uses his whip and he misses, and I was like, excellent.
Yes. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, that is the way it should be, because Indiana Jones has great intentions, and they don't always work out for him. But
we will talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
In 2 weeks.
Yeah, we will.
So, the ending of Juno.
The ending of Juno. I thought it was awesome.
Well, leading up to the ending of Juno, you kind of have to give a few of the other spoilers leading up to it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, there's a couple of scenes with her and Jason Bateman, the father-to-be, where... And even Julie, when she watched it earlier this week, she said, oh, she's flirting really heavily with him. And to an adult... In a married relationship, they would look at what she was doing as flirting.
Yeah.
But she doesn't see it that way. And that's what I was talking about earlier.
And that is a generational difference that she's not flirting. I don't think she's flirting at all. But I don't know, I'm kind of at a weird point in my life where I have one foot in the adult life and I still have this kind of childish notion that I'm not an adult. And I like to think that I understand that culture more than I probably do, but I didn't think that she was flirting, and that may just be a hallmark of my generation. But that's what I got.
I didn't think she was flirting from her point of view. Mm-hmm. Looking at it from his point of view,
I can see where he thought he was
going to get him some pregnancy.
Yeah, I understood where both of them were coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't like the whole dance thing.
No, that was really weird. They were like up in the attic, and this was right before.
Oh yeah,
he's like, I'm leaving. What's her face?
Yes,
they did the remake. That was the only song that I recognized. They did a remake, and he said, "Oh yeah, they played this at my senior prom," and you know, then she had her hands on his hips, and he moved them up to his neck, and it was more like this.
Right,
yeah, that was weird. I don't know where I was going with that, but
I didn't see it as flirting either.
Yeah, neither did I. But I mean,
I just look at it as that, you know, she's 16 years old and going on 17, and here's an older guy that somehow had, you know, the same interest that she had.
Right.
Horror movies, you know.
But he thought you know, there was a spark there, and
it started with the guitars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. From the first meeting.
He had these really nice guitars, a Les Paul and a Gibson, and from somebody. And she saw them, and he was just taken back that she knew, you know, the guitar and who played them and who used them.
Yeah.
So.
And I thought... But see, at the same time, everybody else
Everybody else saw what was happening.
But saw it from him. I mean, yeah. It's not really, and saw it's not from her his point fault. Of view. Because it's not her, mother, her fault.
Even her stepmother was like, yeah, you can't do that. He's right. Married.
Yeah. And she was harping on that he was married.
Yeah, she's like, she's married. And she's like, there's not a problem. We're just chilling, listening to music. And she's like, it doesn't work like that.
No.
Yeah.
And I understand that mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting how they played her as, even though she's pregnant and hip and cool,
she still
doesn't get that. Yeah. And I thought that was really well played. And,
yeah, I thought that and was I thought very that was, genuous or non disingenuous, whatever the word is.
Genuine?
Yeah, there you go.
I liked that, and I think it was that kind of thing, and there were some little more subtle things that happened in the same vein throughout the movie, but that one really kind of set the notion home that she's still a teenager, she's still learning and still living. No, she was. I mean, as smart as she seemed and as together as she seemed, she wasn't ready to have a kid.
Right.
And that was evident. And that was one of the things that really made it stand out that, no, she wasn't ready.
And I thought it was awesome that she's like, I'm not ready to have a kid.
Yeah.
It was a flat statement that she made probably beginning of the pregnancy that she stuck to the entire way.
Yep.
She wasn't ready to raise a kid. I don't think she had a problem having
a kid. Well, yeah, having the kid, I mean, that's biological at that point.
Pushing. But I thought that entire scene, and then I like how I don't want to say that they tricked me, but they led me to believe, I think probably in the entire movie, I held on to the trope that was coming.
Yep.
I was waiting for the resolution, where she storms out, and she's like, oh, he's leaving her, blah, 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 I'm so pissed off, now I want to keep the kid. And then I missed this the first time I actually watched this twice, because mm-hmm. Melina fell asleep through it again.
Yeah.
So I missed the what she wrote on the note the second time that Jennifer Garner framed.
When you didn't see what she wrote on the note until...
Yeah, you don't see it until that one
until
scene.
The, until
and I had
the
walked
end.
Out of the room and
oh,
came back.
Oh, okay.
I watched it the second time and it was, I'm still in if you're in.
Yes.
And I was, if I'd seen that would have been cool. But
yeah.
I totally was not expecting her to just give up the kid. Totally not expecting it.
Right.
And I was so happy when she did.
That was great. You know another trope that I almost thought they were going to do, just to really throw a curveball? I thought they were going to kill her.
Whoa.
I mean, just because how weird and tragic would that have been?
Yeah.
You know? She's giving up the baby anyway.
Because all this stuff happens and then...
And,
like,
then there was one... There was half a second where she has the baby and she puts her head back. And she just doesn't move. And it was for, like, a second. But it was just long enough that thinking that they could have gone there, it was like, oh, my God, did they just do this?
I love the switch out because it was not the knocked up, oh, the pregnancy was rough and this terrible road led us to this point in time.
Yeah.
But you know what? Our lives are so much better and enriched by having this child that we didn't want in the beginning. No, it was, this is a romantic comedy.
Yeah,
and I was like, that's awesome.
And in the same lines along with them killing her, I thought that they were going to do something that would cause her to lose the baby.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like her driving home and crying, she was going to get into an accident, or, you know, she was climbing up some stairs, and I thought, okay, here she goes, she's going to fall, and she's going to lose the kid. And
yeah, I mean, for all the things they could have done, they did the right thing.
Right. It was the right ending.
Yeah.
And I was all about that.
And it was the ending they projected from the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
If you just watched the movie for what it was,
Yeah, they
seen,
tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah, and it does.
I'm going to give this baby away because I'm not...
Right.
I can't. I'm not equipped to be a mother. Yeah, exactly. I'm going to give this baby away, and they
good.
Plainly
they
tell you
it.
That. Yeah.
And what I really liked about it was it still had the romantic comedy aspect of it, of her and her friend, her and Bleeker, and that they ended up together at the end.
Yeah,
that was
awesome.
But in a way that was still kind of innocent. That still had. We're still a couple of kids in high school, kind of a feel to it. It wasn't they've moved in together. And
right.
I mean, none
of
that.
25-year-old people now in high school. Yeah,
yeah, there was none of that. They still live at home. They still, you know.
His mom still hates her.
His mom still hates her. She still has to ride her bike over to his house so they can sit on the front porch and play their guitar together. Like at the end of the movie, that was a really nice little statement that you know, they've moved on from what happened, and they're still living their lives as kids.
Yeah.
And they didn't let it ruin them as children. And I thought that was really good.
One of the really good scenes at the end was after she had the baby, and somebody said, "Are you going to come and see the baby?" And they both said, or no, she had narrated it.
Yeah.
They had asked her in the movie, "Are you going to, do you want to see your baby?" And she said, "No."
Right.
And then she narrated that, you know, Bleeker didn't want to see the baby either, and that was probably the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I think that the chick who wrote it probably was not pregnant. Because women get all weird about that stuff. So I really doubt that she had a pregnancy and or a child when she wrote this.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure.
I would wait if we were going to bet on it, I'd wager on that.
Right.
Which goes back to another scene in the movie when they went over to meet the two parents to be, and the lawyer. Mm-hmm. You know, and the lawyer says, "Okay, we'll do annuals." And
yeah, like, we'll do the open adoption.
Right.
Yeah, and she's like, "We'll send you pictures, you know, like at Christmas and this and that." And she's like, "No, I don't want any of that.
Right.
This is your steak, and I don't care."
Yeah. Yeah, and I thought it was an interesting way to play that. Because they were doing that, I kind of felt like they were setting me up for the trope of,
yep.
she's really going to keep the baby.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh, they're making such a big deal about her not having anything to do with it. Yeah, yeah. Totally.
And then after the two broke up, after Jason Bateman told Jennifer that, "Hey, I'm moving out, you know. I don't want to be a dad. I don't want to be a father."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that upset her, and that's where I thought,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was going to say, all right, she's going to keep it. And then, you know, the note, they didn't show you what the note was. So.
You are the cheese to my macaroni. That was freaking awesome. He is the cheese to my macaroni. Yeah. You win.
I really like the stepmom, too.
I like the stepmom.
How she stepped up and really protected her.
Yeah, the ultrasound.
Yeah. The ultrasound in the hospital, and then she kind of took the role as the would-be grandma and making sure. It was nice to see the scene where she kind of was there
for the
family. Yeah, she kind of represented passing on the baby to Jennifer Garner. Bong.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Without actually having Juno there, It was nice that somebody from the family saw the baby, saw that the Jennifer Garner was taking care of the baby, and that it felt like it was the right thing, and they did it really well in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm mumbling.
No, I thought the ultrasound scene was awesome.
That was great.
That was great. I own a nail shop. you're just an ultrasound technician. Go back to school and get a real job. That seems freaking awesome.
Then, and I said it before, I love the ending where Jennifer Garner turns around, she's holding the baby, she says, "How do I look?" She's like, just like a new mom, scared shitless.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, that's that. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't actually have much about the movie.
I think she did a really good job. I didn't see three of the other Oscar-nominated movies, so I don't really know.
Wait, was the one you watched Michael Clayton?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the...
So what did you
of the five.
What did you think of? What did you think of Michael Clayton?
Once again, I like Michael Clayton. But then, you know, I'm always... You know, when a movie starts out with a scene, and then, like, first 10, 15 minutes later, they take me back a week, 3 days... you know, those movies always pique my interest.
Really?
Like one of my favorite movies, and it was done in completely what I call the backwards movie, was Memento.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Actually, Tony and I were talking about doing that one next week.
Yeah, we're talking about doing that one coming up soon.
I don't know if it was a great plot. I don't know if it was a weak plot. But the whole thing to me was that... You know, the ending of one scene overlapped the beginning of the previous scene, and they took you from the end of the movie to the beginning backwards in like these 10, 15 minute installations is what I call them. And it was I've never seen a movie like that.
And you really have to pay attention. Yeah. That is a movie you cannot zone out on. You really have to watch that movie.
You learn something new about that guy.
And you know, and what you learn at the end of one scene changes everything you learned in the last scene.
Yes. Exactly. And I'm like, you know, when the movie first started, I'm thinking, what the hell's wrong with this guy? Why is he doing that?
Uh-huh.
And
then, One of the real interesting things they have on the DVD, because I've got the DVD, they've got one of the special features.
Can you watch it forward?
You can watch it sequentially.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I still haven't done it. I still haven't done it because it, in my mind, it kind of ruins it.
Are you a fan of Red Dwarf?
I've seen a couple episodes of it. It's
Did you see Backwards?
No.
Okay, well, they film one episode entirely backwards. They go to some alternate universe, whatever.
Nice.
And they film the entire episode backwards. Like, the whole universe is running backwards, so if you die in their universe, you're coming to life. It's something to celebrate.
Okay.
It's this whole concept that the entire thing is
kind of like Mork from Ork.
Yeah, exactly. You can watch the episode.
You get that
forwards.
Reference?
Yeah, from Mork and Mindy.
All right.
I've never seen the show.
I was going to say.
I can fake it.
I was wondering if you were. Well played.
But you can watch the entire episode forwards and. It's a lot like, and I don't know if we're ever actually going to talk about this movie in depth, but 300. The substance of 300 is pretty thin. I mean, everybody knows the story of Thermopylae. It's just, that's the story. There's not much else to it. But the style that it's done in is incredible. And that's kind of the way that I see Memento. I mean, the story itself is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
But the storytelling mechanism is...
How
complex is new and innovative, and that's what makes the story interesting.
Yeah.
So
I'd never seen a movie like that before, and I was, now I like that guy, Guy Pearce.
Guy Pearce, yeah.
Not my favorite actor, but certainly not the one I hate the most.
Right.
I mean, well, there are certain people that I would, could care less if they're in a movie or not, and they probably sway me not going to go see a movie.
Have you seen? I'm going to mess up the name of the movie. The Machinist. Christian Bale. It's the movie he made right before he made Batman Begins. I recommend seeing it. I recommend seeing it, then I recommend watching Batman Begins again. And understanding that he left The Machinist and immediately went and made Batman. And you'll wonder how this anorexic... It looks like he almost died making this movie. I mean, he was so thin and wasted and emaciated that, I mean, there's no way I could have assumed that this person would be able to play the role of Batman.
Christian Bale is hugely underrated because, I mean, from
American
Psycho.
American Psycho
was awesome.
That movie was awesome. Insane.
I haven't seen The Machinist, but to Batman and then to 310 to Yuma.
I haven't seen 310 to Yuma yet.
We're going to have to talk about it.
But you need to see The Machinist. The Machinist is
I'll put it in my queue.
It's freaky. I mean, basically, they're saying this guy has had insomnia for a year. So he lives on coffee and cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
This is what the movie's about?
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, just he's losing his mind, basically, because he's not slept in a year. And I can't really say too much more about it until you see it because I don't want to spoil anything for you.
Well, I know. I feel like my son did that to me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Everything you're watching is not exactly what you're seeing. And that's probably even saying a little bit too much.
All right. Then I won't drink.
I wouldn't. Not in that movie. Yeah, it's a good one, and if you even have a passing interest in Christian Bale as an actor, this movie will impress you if you haven't seen it.
All right, I'll add that to my queue.
Was he the one in the Dragon movie?
Dragon movie?
Was no.
That him?
Are you talking
the one with the? No, you're thinking of Matthew McConaughey, and damn it, what the hell is his name? Gerard Butler. That's the guy you're thinking of.
No. The guy in the castle.
Castle?
Yeah.
The castle.
Wait, we're talking...
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey and his little army buddies come to that home or castle or whatever it is, and he's shacked up there. It's his mom found the dragon. And his mom was the first victim. What was the name of the dragon movie?
What the hell was that? Damn it. I've seen it. Because Gerard Butler's in it. He's one of the first.
Rain of Fire.
Rain of Fire, that's it.
Yeah. That's Matthew McConaughey.
I know, but the guy in the castle. It's not a castle. It's like a fort.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Gerard Butler is the guy. Is the guy you're thinking of's friend who dies to protect this guy. But damn it, I can't remember his name now.
Oh no, are we gonna have to actually pull up IMDb?
No, it's not.
That looked up, it's questionable.
Click.
Yeah, it is.
Let's not stress that.
Especially after the milk spill on it earlier this week.
Yeah, let's not stress that thing.
No, I can't think of any other movies that guy's been in that I've seen.
You haven't seen American Psycho?
I haven't even seen the American Psycho.
Yeah.
There's a lot of male nudity in it, but you know what? There's a lot of chainsaw male nudity in it.
Yeah, I'm more into female nudity.
I can't disagree with that. Are we done? I think we're done.
I don't know, what's your time at?
107.
Yeah, we're done.
All right. So next week, feedback show. If you have any feedback, please send us email. FanboySmackDown@gmail.com, or you can direct it to either one of us, Tony@FanboySmackDown.com, Adam@FanboySmackDown.com.
Ooh, new email address is coming soon.
Yes, coming soon. You can post comments on the website. You can
post them to the forum,
FarpointForum.com. You can send a voicemail to 618-207-4747. And we will take all your feedback, and we will answer it and mock you and make fun of it next week.
I'll get really drunk. Boom.
So if we want to hear from anyone other than Darren, this is your chance, because Darren has a lot of... He sends me email about every other episode.
We got to get him on for an episode.
Yeah, we do. We need to get him over.
Because I got to meet this guy.
Yep, he...
You're one for one. I was very pleasantly surprised when I met Anthony.
Yeah?
Because Anthony was awesome.
And we've got Jake, and maybe we're going to have somebody else joining the team here very shortly.
Ooh.
This guy we're not going to be able to get over here to record, I don't think, because he's not in the area.
Oh, I don't know where he...
Yeah, I don't know exactly where he's from either.
I'm CC'd on all these emails.
Yes.
I just try not to talk.
And more mysticism. What you got going on? More mysticism. The empire expands.
Yeah. Conquest.
All right. We'll see you guys next week with the feedback show.
See ya. See ya.